to offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center.
Ah, there we go.
Setting over Avalon. Last time we stood in the west, suffering long time angels, enraptured by Blake, burn out the dross, innocence captured again. Standing on the beach at sunset, all of the boats moving slow, in the glory of the flashing light, in the evening's glow. When will I ever learn to live in God? When will I ever learn? Brought it to my attention that everything was made in God. Seen through architecture of great cathedrals, down through the history of time. Is and was in the beginning, and evermore shall ever be. When will I ever learn to live in God? When will I ever learn? She gives me everything I need and more. When will I ever learn? Whatever it takes to do His mission, that's the way we must go. But you've got to do it in your own way. Tear down the old thoughts and build up the new. Over on the hillside, it's quiet, where the shepherd's tending his sheep. Across the mountains and the valley, the countryside so green. And standing on the highest hilltop with this great sense of wonder, I see everything was made in God. So I head back down to the roadside and give thanks for it all. When will I ever learn to live in God? When will I ever learn? Everything I need and more. When will I ever learn? Now I forever learn to live in God. Now I forever learn. She's given me everything I my need and more. Now I forever have learned.
Thank you.
There's a lot of stuff up here. I want to welcome the people who are here for the first time. I don't know if you got the greeting from the other people. When...
Oh, you're...
Your son's name's Bodhi.
Yes.
Yeah. I claimed that name myself a few years ago. I think I spell it differently. To Bodhi from the Bodhisattva, which is a Buddhist idea of one who is committed to awakening, mine and yours. And yes. Oh, you do spell it like that.
That's exactly why we named it that.
Great. Great. See, it's happening. It's actually funny that that name is now on the list of the top 10 boy baby names in America, Bodhi. So we're waking up. Isn't that a good thing? We're waking up, and there's always more work to do. Yeah. So, good to be here. There's a story of a farmer whose horse ran away. You probably familiar with this story if you've been around Unity for any length of time. And the farmer's neighbor comes over to commiserate and say, "Oh, so sorry that you lost your horse." And the farmer says, "Well, maybe good, maybe not." And the neighbor is kind of confused about that. Well, you know, the horse is the most important thing that you own, and you're not upset about it. So the next day, the horse comes back with 12 feral horses. So the neighbor comes over to celebrate and says, "Oh, look, you have 12 new horses. You have 13 horses now." And the farmer says, "Well, maybe good, maybe not." To which the neighbor kind of shakes his head. So the next day, the farmer's son was trying to break one of the new horses and fell off the horse and broke his leg. The neighbor says, "Oh, so sorry, your son broke his leg." The farmer says, "Maybe good, maybe not." The next day, the army comes through town conscripting all the able-bodied young men to join the army, to go into war, but the farmer's son is unable to go because of his broken leg. Maybe good, maybe not. And the story goes on and on and on, as you can imagine. The point is that we don't know really what's good and what's bad. Although when we look around at our world today, we kind of get a sense that things are a little goofy. Something's off with our politics. Something's off with the way that the world, Mother Earth, is being treated. Something's off with the rise in addiction, in the rise in violence. And yet, as truth students in Unity, we remember our statement of truth that we said this morning, that there is only one power and one presence, God the good, is present and active in our life. That is our faith. That is our statement of faith, so that we believe that everything is good, right? And yet we have another mass shooting like what happened in Parkland. So how do we work this all together? Well, recently I came across a teaching. I'm studying to become a Kundalini yoga instructor, and I'm about 6 months into a 9-month training. I've been studying the teachings of Yogi Bhajan, who brought Kundalini to the West. And just another great teacher. You know, got to remember when I start sharing this, that Charles Fillmore was given the name Unity in meditation because Unity takes the best from what all religions have to offer. So sharing about other traditions is a tradition in Unity. It doesn't go against our Unity principles. So anyway, Yogi Bhajan, he liked to talk in numbers, in percentages and things like that. And he taught, you know, we have this thing about free will, what's ours to do and what's really happening because of the divine plan. And the numbers that Yogi Bhajan came up with is that we have 20% free will in our lives, and 80% is unknown. Let's breathe into that for a minute. Because in our culture, what it feels like it's reversed, right? And maybe you feel like that, I feel like that sometimes. No, I'm in charge of the 80%, and 20% is unknown. If we flip that around, what we really want to do is align our 20% with that 80%. You know, I never got it. In early recovery, there was this idea about God's will. God's will, not mine. Never my will, right? Because my will always messes things up. And if it's God's will, it's good. So I like this idea that, you know, the unknown, which is God's will, is good. So that's the idea, that if we align our 20% of our will with that 80%, our lives will express more harmony and more joy and the things that we're looking for in life, more unity, more peace in the world. And yet, in our culture, it kind of teaches, well, we have to know what's going on. We have to know the answer, right? How many of us, especially when we have kids, we have to know what's right. And yet, at the same time, the way God deals with us, we kind of get to do what we want. And yet, there's this unlimited love that comes from that energy, from that spirit, from God, from the divine. And so we have to remember that. We need to remind each other that we are that we are the divine, that when we do our best, it's good enough. And then we have another chance to do it better again the next time. And if we could just love ourselves through that, be gentle with ourselves, be compassionate with ourselves, we'd be able to express more of that in our lives. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that self-compassion is the hardest thing, right? So we have to remember to start with that self-compassion before we can give it to others. So we need reminders, and I'm reminded by the story in scripture of the sons of thunder, John and James. Jesus was getting ready to go to Jerusalem for the last time, and he sent two of the disciples out before them, and they came back, and they went to a Samaritan village or whatever, and they came back, and he said, these people aren't doing what we want. Should we call on and rain down fire from the heavens on them? And Jesus said, wait a minute. You've forgotten what manner of spirit you are made of. You have forgotten the truth of who you are. You forgot that you are a divine child, that you are a child of God. We're not here to destroy other people. We are here to love them, to awaken them, to bless them. That's why we're here. So, I mean, if the disciples are doing this and they're walking with Jesus, I imagine you and I are going to have a challenge with that once in a while. We need reminders of what stuff we are made of, that we are that divine. And just like the other story that you've heard many times from the Zen tradition of the Zen master pouring tea into the cup of the student until it's overflowing, and the student says, well, wait a minute, the cup's overflowing. And says, so it is with your mind. It's so full of your own ideas. There's no room for any new ideas. There's no room for any light, for any divine wisdom. So we have to let go. We have to surrender into that unknown. And what does that mean, to surrender? We hear it all the time. We sang about letting go this morning. I don't know about you, but you know, why is it everything I let go of has claw marks on it? It's like, where does that faith and that trust come from to really let go? And recently I heard Michael Singer, who wrote a book in the bookstore called The Untethered Soul. He wrote another book called On Surrender. And I got it in a way I hadn't heard it before. But this idea of surrender, when I'm not surrendered, I think I know the solution. And it doesn't matter how many times a situation comes up. I think I know the solution, and one of these days it's going to work. But when we surrender, we totally let go of our idea of how to fix a problem, how to get sober, how to get a job, how to write that relationship. When I surrender, I leave it open to the divine, and there are unlimited possibilities once I surrender. So that's when you know when you've really surrendered, is that there are infinite possibilities. There's infinite solutions to your problem. Sometimes I just, you know, think if I just try a little harder, I can find the solution. Actually, when I try less, you know, and I try less by meditating more. I try less by really being open to possibilities, to being teachable, to have that beginner's mind. Albert Einstein once said that imagination is more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited to all we know now and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all there ever will be to know and understand. So this is step one, and how we do this, how we surrender into the unknown, is to invoke our imagination, to think outside the box, to let go of our own constructs, and just be willing and open to new ideas. So there's a wonderful teaching story about imagination. It comes from the butterflies. And, you know, when a caterpillar feels this change coming on, it starts eating ravenously. It just starts eating everything it can, like many times its weight, and it sheds its skin, and it just like eats and eats and eats until it can't move. And then it latches onto something and hangs upside down, where everything's turned upside down. And then it forms this chrysalis, right? This hard shell, and it's confined for the rest of its transformation. And then something miraculous begins to happen. This thing what biologists call imaginal cells begin to come online. And the caterpillar at first thinks that these imaginal cells are there to attack it. So it gets defensive and it starts attacking the imaginal cells, but more and more imaginal cells come online. And they start bonding together. And they, pretty soon, the caterpillar turns into a nutritional soup for the butterfly. And the imaginal cells take over. And then I like to think that with a really deep breath, the butterfly pops that chrysalis and crawls out, upside down still, but then rights itself. And I like to think you can almost, as it's clinging on to that chrysalis, you can almost hear it saying thank you from where it came from. And then it's free to be this new creation. We have imaginal cells in us. In unity, it's called the spark of divinity. It is the divine within us that can help us overcome any challenge, that can right this world. There's another thing that happens in that transformational process, that there's a loss of innocence, that the caterpillar kind of loses its innocence as the butterfly takes over. And so let's look at our world and where that's happening now with the latest shooting in Parkland. This was a hard one for me. I have a 14-year-old daughter who's in ninth grade in high school, and we live about an hour north of Parkland. So this one really hit us. And the next day, they didn't hold full classes at school, and all the kids, everybody, were all tense and upset. And then we start seeing what the children are doing by protesting and being activists for themselves. I said, man, that's great, isn't it? What the kids are doing. But the next thought I had was, but they shouldn't have to be the ones to do it. The children should be able to go to school and be in the play or be in the band or be in the football team without worrying about getting killed or without worrying about changing the policies for guns in our country, right? Yes. But there was a loss of innocence. when 17 of their friends got killed. And yet, their imaginal cells are waking up. And they're binding together. They're coming together, and the children are leading the way, right? And we get to support them to the best of our abilities. They're doing our work. It was our generation. I don't know how old you are, but, you know, I was born in 1960, so we were the generation that was supposed to turn all the guns into flowers. And we did the opposite. Yeah, I don't know. We got a little greedy. Something happened. And now we're being led by the children. The imaginal cells of humankind are waking us up into a greater way to be on this planet. And we have to do our best. We have to do more than our best. We have to do everything we can to support them. Because we need to get back to the world that you and I grew up in, when it was safe in school, when it was safe in your neighborhood mostly, right? And we got to do our best. So I don't know all, I don't know the answers. I just know what's for mine to do, and what's for me to do is to stay connected to my higher self through sobriety, through prayer and meditation, through loving service to others, through stretching out of my comfort zone and stepping into what God really has for me to do in this world. And I call you into that too. Where are the edges where you can grow into being more of who you are, which is, by the way, an expression of the divine? That's why we are here, to express God in and through and as us. So Rumi said it like this: not knowing where I go to you. Not knowing where to turn, I turn to you. Not knowing how to speak, I speak to you. Not knowing what to hold, I bind myself to you. Having lost my way, I make my way to you. So as true students, as people who want to grow and prosper and love and live, I invite you to turn to that unknown, that part that we just don't know the answers, and know that it's good, and surrender into it and allow that to lead you in your life. So it's not so much about the future of humanity. It is about the presence of eternity. And when we live in the eternal moment in God, the future will take care of itself. Namaste, and God bless you.